بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا وبعد. We continue, إخوان. After apologies for our late beginning in today's session, we continue from where we picked off or from where we left off in the last sitting, and that is with the affair and the amr of Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib. And the establishment of that which was to come from him and his wife. As far as the affair of the Banu Hashim is concerned and the tribe of Hashim, as we mentioned, Banu Hashim, they, ikhwana, from the most noble of the Arab. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, his name was Abdullah Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim. And Hashim, you remember we mentioned, was a name that was given to man, to Amr. His name wasn't Hashim. In actuality, that was a title that was given to him. His name was Amr, and he was referred to as Hashim because he was the first one who, Hashim al-Thareed, and he ripped and tore bread into Thareed. As far as Abdul Muttalib is concerned, and Abdul Muttalib, his true name was Shayba. His true name was Shayba, and was referred to as Abdul Muttalib because when his uncle Al-Muttalib returned from Medina with him on the back of his riding beast, they thought that he had purchased a slave, and so they referred to him as Abdul Muttalib. We mentioned the affair of the promise that Al-Muttalib, or that Abdul Muttalib, that he gave, that if Allah Azza wa Jalla were to bless him with 10 sons, that he would sacrifice one of them. And he made a vow to carry that out, and Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed him with 10 sons. In fact, with 10 sons and 6 daughters. Abdul Muttalib, Allah Azza wa Jal blessed him with numerous children, and so when he had those 10 sons and 6 daughters, then the oath or the vow that he took had to come to pass. From the daughters of Abdul Muttalib, Safiya, Hakim, the one that was referred to as Al-Bayda, yani because of her light complexion. Likewise, Arwa, Barra, and others from among the daughters of Abdul Muttalib. The affair then of the slaughtering of Abdullah that resulted, ikhwan, as we mentioned, in the picking of lots, and in the slaughtering of camels in exchange for his son, led to Abdullah having a special place in the hearts of the people of the tribe of Banu Hashim generally. Since Abdul Muttalib had the type of and the level of respect that he had, and the people saw that he had love for Abdullah, and so it caused the people to have love for Abdullah. And so Abdullah, among the tribe of Banu Hashim, was loved and was respected from his young age. And so the father of Abdullah married his son to one of the most noble of the women from among the Arab. He was married when he was some 25 years old, and in terms of his characteristics, he was well known, that is Abdullah, for being Jameel. He was a very handsome man, and he likewise was tall. And generally, you'll find that that is a description that was given to Banu Hashim generally, that they were men who were handsome, tall, and fasih, yani that they were eloquent in terms of their language. And that was generally because of the fact that the children of Banu Hashim, they grew in the Badia, And they would send their children to the open, out into the desert, to grow with the Bedouins, who were at that time the most eloquent of the Arab. And so they would do so partly to cause them to grow strong and resilient. And likewise, that they would grow having the most afsah, or the most eloquent of the tongue of the Arab. The order of the day and the ada of Banu Hashim was that they would send their offsprings in the early stages to grow in the Badia and out in the desert. We mentioned something from the lineage of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we said that he was Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Hashim ibn Abdul Muttalib. Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim ibn Abdul Manaf ibn Qusay ibn Ka'ab ibn Murra. Amina, the mother of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was of similar noble lineage. She was Amina bint Wahab ibn Abdul Manaf ibn Zuhra ibn Kilab ibn Murra. In terms of the lineage then of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the lineage that is the lineage of the Prophet through his father, and the lineage of the Prophet through his mother, then they joined at Kilab ibn Murra. And so in terms of them being from the purest of the Arab, the most noble of the Arab, then his mother and father were from the most noble of the Arab. His father was from Banu Hashim. Yani since the offsprings of Hashim, they were referred to as Banu Hashim. His mother was from Banu Zuhra. And Banu Zuhra was again from the purest of the blood of the Arab, the most noble of the Arab. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam made mention of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal had blessed him in terms of his lineage. And there is a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke of his lineage, and spoke of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal had sent him among the best of people. There occurs, ikhwan, in an authentic narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was collected by Imam Ahmad and others, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he qala, or that he said as Al-Abbas, he said, balaghahu sallallahu alaihi wasallam ma yaqulu an-nas. It reached the Messenger Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it reached the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam what the people were saying, meaning that they were trying to dispraise him and speak ill of him. And remember, Al-Abbas was one of the brothers of Abdullah, the father of the Messenger of Allah. Al-Abbas, Hamza, Abu Talib, Abu Lahab, Muqawwam. There were a number of brothers that many of them became companions. Al-Abbas then narrated the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it had reached him what the people were saying concerning him, and that they were trying to dispraise him. As occurs, ikhwan, in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, do you not see how Allah azza wa jal has turned the cursing and the dispraise of Quraysh away from me? Yasubbuni mudhammam. They curse me as mudhammam, and they dispraise me as mudhammam. Mudhammam, the opposite of Muhammad. Muhammad from Hamd, Muthammam from them. Hamd being praised, them being dispraised. So instead of calling him Muhammad, they would ridicule him and say, what is Muthammam doing now? And so he said, do you not see how Allah Azza wa Jal has turned the dispraise of Quraysh away from me? They curse me as Muthammam, and they dispraise me as Muthammam, wa ana Muhammad. And so Allah Azza wa Jal turned the dispraise away from the Prophet ﷺ by way of them referring to him by other than his true name. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned, when he heard of that which the people were saying, he rose upon the mimbar and he said, man ana? He said, man ana? Who am I? And so they said, anta Rasulullah. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he said, indicating and making clear what he intended, he said, ana Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abd al-Muttalib. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ الْخَلْقَ فَجَعَلَنِي فِي خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ وَجَعَلَهُمْ فَرِيقَيْنِ أو فريقتين وجعلني في خير فريقة. He said, أو فرقتين. He said that indeed I am Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abd al-Muttalib. Allah Azza wa Jal created the creation and He made me among the best of them. He said, وَجَعَلَهُمْ فِرْقَتَيْنِ. He made them two groups. And He made me and placed me among the best of those two groups. وَخَلَقَ الْقَبَائِلِ. And He created the tribes. وَجَعَلَنِي فِي خَيْرِ قَبِيلَ. And He made me and placed me among the best tribe. He said, وَجَعَلَهُمْ بُيُوتًا. And He made them households. Yani the tribes. He made those tribes households. فَجَعَلَنِي فِي خَيْرِهِمْ بَيْتًا. And He placed me in the best of the of those households. فَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ بَيْتًا وَخَيْرُكُمْ نَفْسًا. He said, so I am the best of you in household and the best of you as an individual, as a person. So the Prophet ﷺ, in terms of his lineage, ikhwan, there is no debate that the Messenger ﷺ was from the most noble of the Arab and the most noble of the tribes. And as we mentioned, when we discussed his lineage, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, ibn Abdul Muttalib, ibn Hashim, ibn Abdul Manaf, ibn Qusay, ibn Ka'ab, ibn Murra, ibn, up until Adnan. When we reach Adnan from Lu'ay ibn Khuzaymah ibn Mudrika, when we reach Adnan, Adnan after Adnan, between Adnan and Ismail, there is something from a difference among the historians. But it is established on the statement, or from the statement of the Messenger ﷺ himself, that he's from Bani Ismail, that he's from the offsprings of Ismail. We mention in that regard the hadith of Wathila ibn Ashqa. Wathila ibn Ashqa, he mentioned that the Messenger ﷺ, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى كِنَانَا. That Allah Azza wa Jal has chosen Kinana. And Kinana, or Kanan, as it is referred to biblically, min waladi Ismail, from the offsprings of Ismail. He said, wastafa Qurayshan min Kinana. And he chose Quraysh from Kinana. Wastafa Hashiman min Quraysh. And he chose Hashim from Quraysh. Wastafani min Bani Hashim. And he chose me from Banu Hashim. And that then indicates clearly that the Prophet ﷺ, regardless of the intricacies, when we're looking at the actual names, Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn, what is established on the tongue of the Messenger ﷺ, that is that he was from the lineage of Ismail. That is established. So even though among the scholars of history and the historians, there is something from a difference of opinion between Adnan and Ismail. Who is it that came after Adnan? And thus we find, as we mentioned, when we're speaking about the noble tribes, then the noble tribes of the Arab were referred to as Adnani tribes. And the Arab al-Asil are referred to as Adnani tribes. And we said that the Arab come three types. Al-Arab, Al-Ba'ida. Al-Arab, Al-Ba'ida. Yani the extinct Arab. And they were the Amaliq and their likes. The Arab, Al-Ariba. The Arab, Al-Ariba. Yani the original Arab. And they are yani the Qahtani Arab, going back to yani generally the region of Yemen. And the Arab, Al-Musa'riba. And that is that Ismail, when he and his mother took up residence in Mecca, a tribe from the purest of the tribes of Jurhum, traveled, or known as Jurhum, traveled to Mecca and took up residence in Mecca and married Ismail, and he married from them. And the Arab that issued from the marriage between Ismail and his wife from the tribe of Jurhum were referred to as the Arab al-Musta'riba. Ismail himself was not from the Arab. And so the Prophet ﷺ, then he praises and makes mention of his own lineage and the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal selected him and placed him among the best of the Arab. And so when it came then to the affair of Abdullah, then Abdullah without doubt was from the noblest of the Arab, and his mother, that is the mother of the Prophet ﷺ, Amina bint Wahab, was from the noblest of the Arab. His father was from Banu Hashim, his mother was from Banu Zuhra. And so Abdullah, he married Ikhwan at the age of 25, and the marriage was that which was well known and established and popular among the Awsat and among the ranks of Banu Hashim, that the noble son of Abdul Muttalib, Abdullah, was married to from the noblest of the Arab women and from the purest in terms of blood, Amina bint Wahab. Ibn Ishaq, he mentioned, فَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَوْسَتَ قَوْمِهِ نَسَبًا وَأَعْظَمَهُمْ شَرَفًا مِنْ قِبَلِ أَبِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ. He said, so therefore the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was from the greatest or from the best of, and this term أَوْسَط, the term أَوْسَط is either a reference to something being between two things or a reference to something being the best of something. And so when it is said that the best of affairs is awsatuha, in terms of the usage of the term awsat, it is sometimes referred to or used to refer to that which is the best of something. And so those of you who may come across narrations mentioning that such and such is, was the awsat, mathalan that Firdaus is awsat al-jannah, that is not a reference to it being yani the medium part of Jannah, like the best of Jannah. And so Ibn Ishaq, when he mentions here, فَكَانَ مِنْ أَوْسَطِ قَوْمِهِ نَسَبًا, that he was from the best of his people in lineage. And that was established when Abu Sufyan went to speak to Hiraqal. From the things that Hiraqal asked him about Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is that how is he in terms of lineage? Is he of good lineage? And so he said that he's from the best of our lineage. He's from the best of us. And so he said, and that is the nature of the prophets and the messengers, yani that they are from the best of the people in terms of lineage. After the marriage of the messenger, Afwan of Abdullah, to the wife of Abdullah, Amina, the mother of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a widespread qissa and a widespread story that is munkara, and that we'll mention because of the fact that it is not established in terms of that which is related to the father of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah. And there is a popular story in some of the books of Sirah that you may come across, and that is that Abdullah, he was approached on an occasion by a woman, and that woman looked at the face of Abdullah and was attracted to him. And so she, on top of wanting to marry him, she wanted to fornicate with him. And so she was rejected by Abdullah. After Abdullah married Amina, the narration mentions, he approached the same woman again. And he said to her, do you not see, or do you remember the offer that you made to me such and such time ago? She said, yes. So he said, do you wish to follow that up? And so she said, when it occurred back then, it was because I saw something from light in your face. There was a light that I saw in your face, a nur that I saw in your face. But now, it appears that that nur and that light has disappeared. And so she wasn't interested in following up the offer of Abdullah, the offer that she initially made to him. That is a riwayah, ikhwan, and a narration that is munkara. It is not established that occurred. And as Ahlul Hadith and scholars of Hadith mentioned, it is munkara in terms of its sanad and in terms of its matan. It is not established in its text or in its isnad, neither is its text congruent with that which is known concerning Abdullah, the father of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was from among those, ikhwan, who still had those noble characteristics and was not from among those who were given to fornication. And you remember the hadith that we mentioned last week, the Prophet ﷺ, he said that I was born of marriage and I was not born of fornication. And neither has any of my lineage been touched by fornication. And so the affair then is, or the hadith narration, as I mentioned, you'll find it in many books of Sirah, but it is not established that that occurred with Abdullah, the father of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As far as the life of Abdullah, then the historians, Ikhwan, in terms of that which they mentioned concerning him, the mention of him is relatively short, and that is because of the fact that not long after his marriage to Amina, he traveled to Sham, and you remember that Abdullah, his father, Abdul Muttalib, Shaybah, was of a mother who was from, his mother was from Medina. His mother was from Medina. And his father, Shaybah, was born of man. He was the son of Hashim. Hashim had traveled, you remember, to Sham for the journey, for the bi-yearly trade journeys that they used to embark upon. On the way to Sham, and you remember our description of the Jaziratul Arab, if you remember, just we recall it again from the top of the, you remember we said it is like a rectangle. From the top of the rectangle on the left hand side we have Sham, Mumtaz. Coming down, Medina. Coming down, Mecca. Coming down, Najran. Ahsant, Najran. Then coming down in the corner, the bottom left-hand corner, we have Yemen, the whole of the left-hand corner. At the top of the corner, Sana'a, Yemen, down to Hadramaut. Ba'den, at the end of the bottom of the rectangle, Oman, then going up, Bahrain, up to Iraq. And that then is the Jaziratul Arab. The journey of Quraysh was from Mecca up along the left-hand side of that rectangle to Sham. And so Medina, which was known at that time as Yathrib, was a place that they would regularly stop through and they would regularly visit. The journey from Mecca to Sham was one that, as we mentioned, this bi-yearly journey that they would go upon for trade. It was initiated by Hashim, but thereon after, the offsprings of Hashim would all carry that out. From them, Abdul Muttalib, from them, Abdullah, and the rest of the tribe of Quraysh. And so Abdullah had embarked upon the same journey from Mecca to Sham as did Quraysh ordinarily. He though, as far as Medina was concerned, which was, if you like, one of the pit stops on the way to Sham, he had family in Medina, he had aunties in Medina. His or the mother of his father was from Medina, so he had family in Medina. During the journey he fell sick, and so he stopped in Medina in order to recover, but that was never to be. And that is that Abdullah, the father of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he passed away in Al-Madina. He passed away in Al-Madina. When news of the death of Abdullah reached Amina, it was established that she was some 2 months pregnant with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born yatim. He was born an orphan. As far as the affair of being an orphan Islamically is concerned, it is the one who is without father, even if his mother is alive. The one who is without father is referred to as yatim and is referred to as an orphan. As far as the death of Abdullah is concerned, then most historians mention that he died when he was 25 years old, which indicates that they were not married for a year. when Abdullah died. He married, as we mentioned, when he was 25, and he passed away when he was 25. And so they were newlyweds, in essence, when the affair of him passing away occurred. As far as the mirath of Abdullah, then that which he left and that which was inherited by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam were 5 camels, a number of sheep, and a slave girl or a slave woman whose name was Barakah. Barakah, or Ayman, was in actuality the slave of the father of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah. And she was likewise from the women who gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam succor. She was an Abyssinian, an Ethiopian slave at that, well, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam inherited her, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam eventually freed her. And she, in actuality, outlived the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there is a qissa and a story that at the end of, or after the death of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Abu Bakr and Umar went to visit Ayman. And when they knocked upon the door of Ayman, she began to cry, and they too began to cry. And so she said, and when they asked her why he cries, because indeed the Prophet, why she cries, because the Prophet has chosen the best gathering. She said, I do not cry because I fear or I have any doubt concerning what he has chosen. But I cry because I know that revelation has stopped from the sky. And so Ayman, she was the mother of Usama ibn Zayd. The Prophet ﷺ married her to Zayd ibn al-Harith. So the inheritance of the Messenger ﷺ was, in terms of its amount, it wasn't a great amount. But it was his inheritance nonetheless. Thereafter, Ikhwan, during the year of the Fil, the same year that we discussed last week when the elephant army of Abraha came to destroy the Kaaba, it was in the very same year that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born. And he was born, Ikhwan, on a Monday, in the month of Rabi al-Awwal, in the year of the Fil. In terms of the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then in a narration that occurs in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked on an occasion when he was seen fasting on a Monday, he said, "Fihi wulidtu wa fihi unzila alayya." He said, on it I was born, yani on Monday, and on it revelation was sent to me. That is, the Prophet ﷺ, when he was revealed to, revelation began to come to him on a Monday. As far as the signs of the prophethood of the Messenger ﷺ being present, even from the time from an early stage, then it was present, then they were present even from the pregnancy of the Messenger, or of the mother of the Messenger, with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In that regard, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, as occurs in the hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, hadith of Irbad ibn Sariyah, he said, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inni abdullah maktubun bi khatam an-nabiyyin wa inna Adam alayhi salam bi munjadil." He said that indeed I was the servant, or inni inda Allahi maktubun bi khatam an-nabiyyin. I was written as the seal of the prophets with Allah Azza wa Jal when Adam was still munjadil, yani that he was still on the ground, only being a torso created from clay. Before the soul was blown into Adam, I was considered and I was decreed as the seal of the prophets and the messengers. He said, وَسَأُخْبِرُكُمْ بِأَوَّلِ ذَلِكَ, and I shall inform you of the first of that. He mentioned da'watu Abi Ibrahim. The first of my affair of being a prophet was the dua of my father Ibrahim. The dua of my father Ibrahim. And that is a reference to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, Rabbana wab'ath fihim rasula. The dua of Ibrahim when he made, and him and his son built the Kaaba, he made a dua saying, O Allah, and send among them a messenger from them. And that then was the dua of Ibrahim that manifested in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, he mentioned وَبِشَارَةُ أَخِي عِيسَى, and I was the bishara, or I was the glad tidings of my brother Isa. And that, no doubt, is the statement of Allah, a reference to the statement of Allah, إِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ, when Isa ibn Maryam, he said, O Bani Israel, that verily inni Rasulullah ilaykum, I am the messenger of Allah to you, giving you glad or warning you, wa mubashiran bi rasulin ya'ti min ba'd ismuhu Ahmad, and I give you glad tidings of a prophet that is to come after me, whose name shall be Ahmad. Ahl al-ilm, ikhwan, from them, al-Shaykh bin Uthaymeen, he mentioned, why did Allah Azza wa Jal in this verse, when he mentioned the statement of Isa, why did he mention Ahmad and not Muhammad? He mentioned that there was a hikmah and a wisdom behind that. Since Muhammad is the one that is the praiseworthy one. While Ahmad is ism tafdeel, yani that he is Ahmad, or is greater in giving praise than other than him. And so he used the name Ahmad in the reference of Isa ibn Maryam to indicate the fact that he, Muhammad, was Ahmad minhu, that he was greater in giving praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than him. And not, he didn't use his name Muhammad, but Ahmad. From the greatest of the prophets and the messengers in doing so. He said, وَرُؤْيَا أُمِّي أَلَّتِي رَأَتْ حِينَ وَضَعَتْنِي أَنَّهُ خَرَجَ مِنْهَا نُورٌ أَضَاءَتْ لَهَا مِنْهُ قُصُورُ الشَّامِ. He said, and I was the ru'ya, or I was the dream of my mother. In this narration he mentioned, when وَضَعَتْنِي, when she gave birth to me. While in another version of the hadith, it mentions حَمَلَتْنِي, أو حَمَلَتْ بِي, when she was pregnant with me. And that is what is most popular in terms of the narrations, when she was pregnant with me. As far then as the affair of the light that she saw, that is that she saw a light coming from her, it is oftentimes mentioned as though she actually saw a light while she was awake. And none of the narrations indicate that. In actuality, the narrations indicate that she saw that as a dream, that she dreamt when she was pregnant with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a light came from her that illuminated the qusur, or the castles of Sham. And that she saw again, ikhwan, as a dream. And so it was not that she actually saw a light come from her, but in a dream she saw that a light came from her that illuminated the castles of Sham. And so then as far as the Bishara, or the affair of him being born, and that which is related to his birth, then indeed there are a number of narrations that speak of how the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. When his mother Amina gave birth to her, or to him, as occurs, ikhwan, in an authentic narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was collected by Ibn Hibban and others, he was not born as children are ordinarily born. When his mother gave birth to him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out hands first. So when he came out, and when his mother gave birth to him, he came out placing his hands down on the surface. And then he raised his head and looked to the sky. He raised his head and looked to the sky. And that was at the point of birth of his mother, yani of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He likewise mentions, there is a narration that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Arab, they used to use a particular type of a clay vessel, or a half clay vessel, that they would place over the baby, which would resemble like an incubator. And Amina, on an occasion, she fell asleep, leaving the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam beside her. And when she woke up, the clay incubator, if you like, or the clay structure, was split in two. And she woke looking at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was raising his head looking at the sky. And that was while he was yet a newborn child. As far as the birth of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned, then there are a number of ahadith that speak of the fact that the Yahud recognized a sign when he was born. From that sign, we had the appearance of a star that they were expecting. That the Yahud, because they knew of the coming of a messenger, and because they knew of the appearance of a prophet in that region, number one, they traveled and made migration to Medina on three separate occasions. But they were waiting for a sign. And from those signs that they were awaiting, there was the appearance of a najm, or a star, that indicated the birth of the prophet that they were waiting for. And so, as far as the narration then of the appearance of that star, then it was collected by Imam Hakim and others, that Hassan ibn Thabit, he mentioned, Wallahi inni la ghulamun yafa'atun ibn sab' aw thamanin a'qilu kullu ma sami't idh sami'tu yahudiyan yasrakh bi'a'la sawtihi ala atumin bi yathrib ya ma'ashara yahud hatta idha ajma'u ilay qalu lahu waylak ma lak. قال طلع الليل نجم أحمد الذي ولد به. The narration, it mentions that this occurs in Medina in Yathrib. Hassan ibn Thabit, he mentioned that indeed I was a young boy, the age of 7 or 8 years old, and I could understand and perceive what was said and the things that went on around me. He said, when I heard on an occasion one of the Yahud, and since the Yahud, the Jews, they were resident in Medina, I heard one of the Yahud calling at the top of his voice, standing on a mound, on a raised piece of earth, calling at the top of his voice, saying, Ya ma'ashar al-Yahud, saying, O gathering of Yahud. Until they gathered to him, they said, woe upon you, what is wrong with you? He said that indeed, the star of Ahmad has appeared. The star of Ahmad has appeared that you have been awaiting. Similarly, Ikhwan, there is a longer version of the same narration that mentioned, كَانَ يَهُودِيًا قَدْ سَكَنَ الْمَدِينَةِ يَتَّجِرُ بِهَا فَلَمَّا كَانَتِ اللَّيْلَةِ الَّتِي وُلِدَ فِيهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ فِي مَجْلِسٍ مِنْ قُرَيْشٍ يا مأشر قريش هل ولد فيكم الليل مولود. He mentions that indeed the Yahud, they some of them would travel to Medina for tijara, for trade. On an occasion, one of them they came when the Messenger of Allah was born, he came and addressed the tribe of Quraysh and said, O Ma'shar Quraysh, O gathering of Quraysh, was there born a child among you tonight? Was a child born among you tonight? And so they said, Wallahi, ma na'alamu. They said, by Allah, we don't know of any child being born tonight. And so he said, Allahu Akbar. Amma idh akhta'tum fala ba's. Unzuru wahfadhu ma aqulu lakum. He said, Allahu Akbar. If I've made a mistake, if you've made a mistake and if you're wrong, then no problem. But remember, go and look, analyze, investigate, and memorize what I have said to you tonight. He said, وُلِدَ فِيكُمْ هَذِهِ اللَّيْلَ نَبِيُّ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّ الْأَخِيرَةِ. Tonight, there has been born among you the prophet of this ummah, yani the final prophet of this ummah. بين كتفيه علامة. Between his shoulders there is an علامة, or there is a sign. He said, وفيها شعرات متواترات كأنهن عرف الفرس. He said, upon this sign there are some light hairs that resemble, or that are like the hairs of a horse. Any light hairs resembling horse hair. He said he will not breastfeed for two consecutive nights. And that is because of the fact that an ifrit from among the jinn will place his finger in his mouth, preventing him from breastfeeding. He said, and so the people were astonished at his statement. And so they rose from their sitting. وَهُمْ يَتَعْجَبُونَ مِنْ قَوْلِهِ وَحَدِيثِهِ. And they were amazed at his statement and at what he narrated to them. He mentions, فَلَمَّا سَارُوا إِلَى مَنَازِلِهِمْ. And so when they went to their abodes, they informed each of them, they informed their families. And so they said, لَقَدْ وُلِدَ لِعَبْدِ اللَّهِ بِنِ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ غُلَامٌ سَمَّوْهُ مُحَمَّدًا. He said that indeed among or from the sons of Abdullah, yani Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib, from the sons of Abdul Muttalib, Abdullah had born to him tonight a child that they named Muhammad. He said, and so the people, they returned back to that which was said by the Yahud, and they said, have you not heard the statements of that Yahudi? He said that he has informed you of the fact that a child was born among you tonight. And so they proceeded until they came to the Jew. And they informed him of that which had taken place. And so he said, اذهبوا معي حتى أنظر إليه. Bring me to him, let me see him. And so they went to Amina and they requested to see the child. And so she brought the child out. And they uncovered its back, and they saw between his shoulder blades that which resembled an egg, a small egg or a mark. And so the Yahudi fell unconscious. The Jew, he fell unconscious. When he came around, they said, "Woe is you! What is wrong with you?" And so he said that indeed, ذهبت والله النبوة من بني إسرائيل. He said that indeed, والله, prophethood has left Bani Israel. He said, أفرحتم به يا معشر قريش. Are you happy with this, O gathering of Quraysh? And it was as though he was saying, do you understand what has come to you, O gathering of Quraysh? He said, أما والله, he said, by Allah, he shall raise your tribe tremendously. He said, and his khabar, or news of him, shall reach the east and the west. And among the gathering, they were from the notables of Quraysh, from those who rejected, went on to reject the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hashim and Walid, the sons of Al-Mughira, and Musafir ibn Abd al-Amr, and Ubaid ibn al-Harith, and Uqba ibn Rabi'a. They were all young children, and some of them were reaching the age of puberty when they had heard and were present at the utterance of that Yahudi and the fact that Prophethood had now entered the tribe of Quraysh. That then, Ikhwan, was from the beginnings of the Bishara and from the beginnings of the affair of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will find in some of the books of Sirah the mention of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam being born Makhtoon. That is, there are numerous narrations that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born circumcised. Nothing from those narrations, ayyuhal ikhwa, is established. In fact, some of those narrations mention that he was born makhtunan masruran, that he was born circumcised and that his umbilical cord was already cut. Nothing from those narrations is established as the scholars of hadith and the a'imma of this affair have established. Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned, وَيُقَالُ أَنِ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وُلِدَ مَخْتُونًا مَسْرُورًا وَرُوِيَ فِي ذَلِكَ حَدِيثٌ لَا يَصِحْ ذَكَرَهُ أَبُو الْفَرَجِ بْنِ الْجَوْزِ فِي الْمَوْضُوعَاتِ. He said that indeed it is said that the Prophet ﷺ was born circumcised and was born with his umbilical cord cut, but nothing from those narrations is established. Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah ta'ala likewise mentions the same. After the narrations that occur in the Mustadrak of Imam Hakim, Imam al-Dhahabi, he says, لا أعلم صحة ذلك فكيف يكون متواترا. Since Al-Imam Hakim, he said that the fact that he was born مخطونا مسرورا, circumcised and with his umbilical cord cut, that is متواتر. And so Imam al-Dhahabi makes a comment on that statement. He said that it doesn't occur in any authentic hadith. How possibly then could it be said that it is even mutawatir? And so as far as the khitan or the circumcision of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he was circumcised on the seventh day, which was the ada and the custom of the Arab, and he was circumcised by Abdul Muttalib. He was circumcised by Abdul Muttalib. So nothing from those narrations is established. What is established, as Al-Imam Ibn Kathir mentions in Al-Bidayah wa Al-Nihayah and elsewhere, that Abdul Muttalib circumcised the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the seventh day after his birth. And likewise, it was Abdul Muttalib that named him Muhammad. And there is a story behind him naming the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam Muhammad. And that is that a gathering from among the tribe of Quraysh traveled to Sham, Abdul Muttalib being among them, and three other individuals from among the Tujjar and the traders of Quraysh. When they traveled to Sham, they came across a rahib, or they came across one of the priests from among the people of the book, he said, and so they asked him, they asked them, where are you from? And so they said, نَحْنُ مِن مَكَّةِ. And so he responded to them by saying, إِنَّ بِلَادَكُمْ سَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا نَبِيٌّ. That verily your land, there shall come from it a Nabi. He mentioned, فَسَأَلُوهُ مَا اسْمُ النَّبِيِّ قَالَ إِسْمُهُ مُحَمَّدٍ. He said, so they asked him, what is the name of that Nabi? And so he responded, his name shall be Muhammad. He said, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ إِسْمُ مُحَمَّدٍ مَعْرُوفٌ عِنْدَ الْعَرَبِ. But Muhammad, at that time, the name was not well known among the Arab. And so those who were present with Abdul Muttalib, from them, we had Sufyan ibn Mukhashi' or Mujashi', we had Uhayhatu ibn al-Jalash, and we had Himran ibn Rabi'ah. All of them, those three, were present with Abdul Muttalib when that statement was made. Abdul Muttalib and his offspring, Abdullah, was the first then to have a child and name him Muhammad. Because of, it is said, because of the statement of that rahib. And then the three who were present alongside Abdul Muttalib, each of them had sons, and each of them named their sons Muhammad. Each of them named their sons Muhammad. Prior to that period, the name Muhammad was not well known. Al-Hafid ibn Hajar, though, he makes a comment about that statement. And he mentions, as occurs in Fathul Bari, he said, وَهَذَا حَصْرٌ مَرْدُودٌ in the fact that, or this statement, that there were only three who named their children Muhammad, he mentioned that this is something that is not accepted, or is not the case, and it was only three. Since that was a statement of some based upon the narration, but the narration doesn't restrict the usage of the name to those three. He mentioned, فَقَدْ جَمَعْتُ أَسْمَاءً أَسْمَاءَ مَنْ تَسَمَّى بِذَلِكَ فِي جُزْءٍ مُفْرَدٍ فَبَلَغَ نَحْوَ عِشْرِينَ لَكِنْ مَعَ التَّكَرَّرِ فِي بَعْضِهِمْ وَوَهْمٌ فِي بَعْضٍ فَتَلَقَّصَ مِنْهُمْ 15 نَفْسًا. He said, I myself have authored a book and gathered some 20 names of individuals who were referred to as Muhammad. But after removing repeat names, any two individuals we thought were two different people, but it turns out it was the same person, it is boiled down, or those names boiled down to some 15 names of individuals who were referred to as Muhammad before the coming of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One last issue that we'll discuss, Ikhwan, before we round up, and that is the affair of the suckling of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that which is popularly mentioned concerning the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam being suckled by Halima al-Sa'diyah. As far as the affair of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being suckled by Halima al-Sa'diyah, then there is nothing that is authentic that establishes that the Prophet ﷺ was suckled by Halima al-Sa'diyah. Though na'am, it is widespread, it is very well mentioned, and you'll find it in almost every book of seerah, that the Prophet ﷺ was suckled by Halima al-Sa'diyah. What we do have established is that the Prophet ﷺ was suckled among Banu Sa'd. That is established. Was the woman from Banu Sa'd who suckled her Halima Sa'diyah? We do not have a narration that is authentic that establishes that, though it is well known and it is widespread among the scholars of Siyar and the scholars of history. But there is nothing authentic that establishes that the witness of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Halima Sa'diyah. But since she was Sa'diyah, and we do have it established that the Prophet ﷺ was suckled among Banu Sa'd, then there is no reason to reject the fact that her name, the witness of the Messenger ﷺ, was Halima. He was suckled first and foremost by his mother Amina, and that the scholars mention occurred over a period of some 3 days. Some mention 7 days and some mention 9 days. And then he was suckled by another one of his wet nurses, Thuwaybah. And Thuwaybah, Ikhwan, is, though she's established, she's less commonly mentioned. But in actuality, in terms of that which is established, then him being suckled by Thuwaybah is more established in terms of the establishment of her name than Halima. Though Halima is, as we mentioned, widespread, and she was from Banu Sa'd. Thuwaybah likewise suckled a number of other individuals. From them, an individual known as Masruh, who was the brother of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from suckling. As far then as the affair of Halima, then the one who suckled the Prophet ﷺ from Banu Sa'd, if it was that her name was Halima and that is established, then she likewise suckled alongside the Prophet ﷺ, Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, and Abu Salma ibn Abdul Asad al-Makhzumi. So we know that they were suckled by the same woman. The issue is the name. They were suckled by the same woman from Banu Sa'd. And so Hamza was not only the uncle of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he was likewise his brother from suckling. There occurs a hadith in Sahih Bukhari that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as occurs of the authority of Habiba, the daughter of Abi Sufyan, who mentioned, قُلْتُ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِنَّا نُحَدَّثُ أَنَّكَ تُرِيدُ أَن تَنْكِحَ بِنْتَ أَبِي سَلْمَةَ قَالَ بِنْتُ أُمِّ سَلَمَةَ قُلْتُ نَعَمْ قَالَ لَوْ أَنَّهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ رَبِيبَتِي فِي حِجْرِي مَا حَلَّتْ لِي إِنَّهَا إِبْنَةُ أَخِي مِنَ الرَّضَاعَةِ أرضعتني وأبا سلمة ثويبة فلا تعرضن علي بناتكن ولا أخواتكن. There in the hadith occurs in Sahih Bukhari that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he was approached by Habiba, who said that it has reached us that you wish to marry the daughter of Abu Salama. So the Prophet ﷺ said, the bint of Salama, the daughter of Salama, she said, Naam. She said, the Prophet ﷺ responded by saying, but she is Rabibati, and she was present and grew within his household. He said that indeed, she is the daughter of my brother from breastfeeding. Abu Salma was breastfed by Thuwaiba. I and Abu Salma were breastfed by Thuwaiba. So do not bring to me your daughters or your sisters. That is because of the fact that there is that relation by way of breastfeeding. And so the Prophet ﷺ himself established the fact that he was breastfed by Thuwaiba. And that is established in hadith, as we mentioned, in Bukhari. A variant narration mentioned that indeed, she is not halal for me, for indeed she is the daughter of my brother from breastfeeding. وَيَحْرُمُ مِنَ الرَّضَاءَ مَا يَحْرُمُ مِنَ النَّسَبِ that which lineage makes haram, breastfeeding likewise makes haram. That which is made haram from lineage is likewise made haram from breastfeeding. So the Prophet ﷺ then established the fact that he was breastfed by Thuwaiba, and he was breastfed by Ayman, as we mentioned earlier, and he was similarly breastfed by a woman from Banu Sa'd. Was it Halima? Likely. Can we establish? That is not something, ikhwan, that is established by way of any narration that is authentic, but what is established though is that she did breastfeed, yani a woman from Banu Sa'd did breastfeed the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the majority of the books mention that it was Halima. There was an instance that took place, ikhwan, that caused Halima, or the woman from Banu Sa'd, to fear for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the extent that she brought the child back to her mother, to his mother. She brought the child back to his mother, Amina. And that was a qissa known as the qissa of Shaqq al-Sadr, the story of the splitting of the chest of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was a young boy. And that story, inshallah, will begin our next session after we return from Umrah. With the mention of Shaqq al-Sadr. It is something that occurred when the Prophet ﷺ was a young boy. And it reoccurred when the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was a grown man, when he was 50 years old. Happened when he was a young boy, and it reoccurred when the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was some 50 years old. And we'll discuss that in the next session bi-idhnillah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.